Thank you, Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, June 2nd, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Sepp Blatter, president of the World Football Federation, FIFA, resigned Tuesday in the midst of an unfolding corruption scandal.
Zimbabwe police have arrested and deposed former ZANU-PF lawmaker Themba Mliswa for allegedly destroying ZANU-PF election posters and disrupting the party's meetings.
I'm being told that Law and Order will investigate this matter. I'll probably go to court tomorrow or on Friday.
And vendors in Zimbabwe are resisting plans by government to evict them from streets in urban areas within 7 days, saying this move is ill-timed.
As you can see, I'm disabled. So how am I going to live after they have chased me? I'm a breadwinner in my family.
Sepp Blatter, president of the World Football Federation, FIFA, resigned today in the midst of an unfolding corruption scandal. Blatter had been re-elected to a fifth term as president just 4 days earlier. The 79-year-old FIFA chief announced his decision at a news conference in Zurich, Switzerland. The FBI in the United States and Swiss police staged a series of raids last week as FIFA's top leaders gathered for a congress. Charges against those who were detained include receiving bribes and racketeering.
Zimbabwe police have arrested and deposed the former ZANU-PF lawmaker Themba Mliswa for allegedly destroying ZANU-PF election posters and disrupting the party's meetings. The former Mashonaland West ZANU-PF provincial chairperson is alleged to have sent to Magunje police station, where he was then supposed to be handed over to the police law and order section. Studio 7's Blessing Zulu caught up with Mliswa on his way to the police station and had this to say.
It's true. That's the situation for having been faced to get Guja's posters and secondly, apparently an assault to a war veteran and soldier who I asked Nyanguja why they were sexually abusing. I never touched him, but that's the charges that I'm facing, the fourth chapter of the Electoral Act. And today again I was assaulted, even our posters torn apart. There's been no arrest, the violence has been no arrest. Just 3 days ago at Akurapoint 4, Simbarashi Mamina was beaten up, Mr. Charamba Chiroti was beaten up, and today again we're beaten up at Jumonja. But that's what the situation is. But there are a few days to go, so there's not much to worry about. If you're fighting a system like a ruling party and they're heading for defeat, you expect that to happen. Victory is certain on our part.
So where were you arrested and where are you headed now?
I'm being told that Law and Order will investigate this matter. And in investigating this matter, I'll probably go to court tomorrow or on Friday, you see. But again, it's a strategy for me not to campaign, as you'd appreciate, that there are only 7 days to go, and we are in control of the ground. As an independent, I'm in control of the ground, so they're trying to use every other move to frustrate the people.
What's your message to the people?
They must stay strong. It's only 7 days away. It won't change anything. The ballot paper will always be there. Even if I'm incarcerated, it must never change the mind of the people. It must even give them more determination.
That was Themba Mliswa, who is a former ZANU-PF member of parliament for Hurungwe West, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu. Police spokesperson, senior assistant police commissioner Cherry Charamba, was not reachable for comment. Mliswa was expelled from ZANU-PF for allegedly being part of a group of top senior officials, including former Vice President Joyce Mujuru, who was said to have attempted to topple President Robert Mugabe last year. The group has since dismissed these allegations as unfounded.
Vendors in Zimbabwe are resisting plans by government to evict them from streets in urban areas within 7 days, saying such a move is ill-timed. Our correspondent Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
Some street vendors like Fadzai Mzondo told Studio 7 today that they are not happy with the government's plan to displace them from their vending sites in central business districts of most cities and towns. Mzondo said she does not feel threatened by Brigadier General Anselm Senyatwe's warning, allegedly made in a meeting with their representatives, that the National Army will descend on them if they do not leave within the next few days, as spelled out by local government minister Ignatius Chombo.
We are ready for everything.
Another vendor, Kamurai Moyo, said many families will be affected if they are evicted from their vending sites, as this business is their only source of income. Moyo said many families are now relying on vending for their upkeep because there are no openings in the formal job market.
It's not the way we want to live day by day. In Zimbabwe, each and every year, companies close, month to month, companies close, so people, they are forced to do vending to support their families.
Moyo urged the government to revitalize the country's ailing economy first before thinking of displacing vendors.
They need to have a good strategy first to have our economy back. We can leave vending and go to where we belong. So each and every vendor, maybe she or he passed the ordinary level, advanced level, or some of us, we have degrees. As you can see, I'm disabled. So how am I going to live after they are going to chase me? I'm a breadwinner in my family.
Moyo's views were echoed by former Prime Minister and founding leader of the Opposition Movement for Democratic Change, Morgan Tsvangirai.
The ZANU-PF regime created the problem of joblessness by failing to properly and efficiently run the economy. The regime can therefore not seek to punish the vendors for a problem that the government has created.
And Harare Mayor Bernard Manyenyeni said he will engage Chombo after the majority of vendors raised the concern that the sites where they are supposed to be relocated to are too small to accommodate about 100,000 vendors.
As we speak, I'm in consultations. I'm demanding to see as many stakeholders as quickly as possible. Most likely tomorrow, I would like to meet the leadership of the vendors. I would also like to meet the leadership of the shop owners so that we take everything that we need to take on board and attend to the matter.
The government argues that it wants Harare and other cities and towns to remain clean, as keeping vendors at designated vending points is one of its strategies. President Robert Mugabe's ZANU-PF party promised to create more than 2.2 million jobs in the run-up to the 2013 general election. Indications are that a lot of jobs have been lost following the re-election of Mr. Mugabe and his party in the 2013 polls. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Former Vice President Joyce Mujuru's remarks that leaders should always take care of people's grievances are not enough to assure her followers that she is ready to lead a new formidable party or group to displace ZANU-PF from power, political commentators say. The commentators said Mrs. Mujuru, who issued a statement yesterday apologizing for having been part of President Robert Mugabe's party, which she claims has failed to properly run the country, appears to be undecided on her future. Meli Dube of Bulawayo Agenda said Mujuru's statement lacked the comfort that her supporters sought from her following what most people see as political persecution. Another commentator, Chamu Madirize, told Studio 7 Mujuru's statement does not pacify those ZANU-PF members who continue to be purged.
It doesn't meet the expectations of the people of Zimbabwe. Neither does it meet the expectations of those that are looking up to her who are being victimized by the ZANU-PF leadership. Because the statement is not assertive, it has no clear direction as to the motives of Mujuru in the next few years or maybe in the coming election. I mean, it lacks the kind of leadership stance that the people are actually expecting from Mujuru. Because it's not indicating what exactly she's going to do in the next few years or in the next election.
But reading between the lines, Mr. Madirize, what do you make of that?
You can sense that this statement is coming from a leader who is expecting the people to appreciate her leadership qualities and also to appreciate that she has direction as to where Zimbabwe should go. But I think the statement, and Maimu Jure as a person right now, she's suffering from something that Simbamakoni and the Mawambo project suffered, because they were too late to join the politics of the country.
That was independent political commentator Chamu Madiridze. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Cape Town in South Africa.
Studio 7 wants to hear from you. What issues matter to you? What's happening in your community? Tell us about it in your own voice using WhatsApp. Simply speak into the phone and record your message, starting with your name and your location, and then your message. You can even greet your family and friends. Send your messages to our WhatsApp. Get ready for the number. It's +1 202 465 0318. That number again is +1 202 465 0318. Send us your audio messages right now.
Zimbabwe will be the focus of a congressional hearing in Washington tomorrow titled The Future of U.S.-Zimbabwe Relations, sponsored by the Subcommittee on Africa, Global Health, Global Human Rights, and International Organizations. The hearing marks a significant moment for Zimbabwe, which has not been a topic of much discussion in Washington. Panelists testifying at the hearing are Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Africa, Shannon Smith, Executive Director Ben Frith of the Mike Campbell Foundation, and Regional Program Director for Africa, Imani Kaundes. Smith recently visited Zimbabwe. Kaundes speaks with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube about the significance of this hearing for Zimbabwe.
Well, the significance of this hearing is that the House Africa Subcommittee is looking at U.S. foreign policy towards Zimbabwe. But more importantly, the House Africa Subcommittee is looking at the future of U.S. policy toward Zimbabwe. The past relationship between the United States and Zimbabwe has been, you know, very fractured, sometimes very, very tense. And I think that all parties are looking forward to identify new ways of moving into the future. For an organization like the Solidarity Center, there are a certain key set of economic and labor-related issues that we think that there's great opportunity for the United States to work with the Zimbabwe government and key stakeholders on.
The U.S. has stated that its position on Zimbabwe at the government level has not changed, and that the president, that is President Robert Mugabe, is still not adhering to the rule of law. What are your thoughts on this stance, and does it hurt or does it help?
Well, I think that the U.S. government stance is actually very accurate. I mean, one only needs to look at the number of Zimbabwean laws, the new constitution, and so forth, that are not being adhered to. And this is one of the key areas of reform that needs to be addressed by the government. And unfortunately, those in government at this particular time are much more concerned with and are engaged in very divisive, very dangerous, and destabilizing round of internal wrangling that relates to the succession issue within ZANU-PF.
With ZIDELA intact, what do you think about the future of Zimbabwe in terms of U.S.-Zimbabwe relations?
There are U.S. sanctions against Zimbabwe. Those sanctions are very targeted against certain individuals. The impact of those limited sanctions is overblown, and the government and those responsible, those key stakeholders that have some ability and influence to positively impact the direction of the country, really need to focus on those responsibilities.
What could be the outcome of the deliberations at the Hill on Wednesday?
Well, I think that one of the outcomes, hopefully, will be that there'll be a new type of discussion. And so rather than the kind of, you know, bitter recriminations that we've seen between the U.S. and Zimbabwe in the past, rather than the exclusive focus on sanctions, are they harmful or not, that we can begin to look at Zimbabwe today.
That was Regional Program Director Imani Countess of the Solidarity Center speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Washington. Countess is one of the panelists speaking at a congressional hearing on Zimbabwe tomorrow.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
a closer look at new regulations governing the retrenchment of workers in Zimbabwe with Tatenda Gumbo.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Rescue crews in central China continued Tuesday searching for survivors after a passenger ship carrying 450 people sank during a storm in the Yangtze River.
Top officials from France, Iraq, and the United States say they are confident about the anti-Islamic State coalition in Iraq, but they also stress there's need for more equipment and training to bolster the offensive.
Boko Haram militants have again attacked the Nigerian city of Maiduguri, which is slated to be the new base of government operations aimed at crushing the group.
And the U.S. Embassy in Burundi says it continues to urge President Pierre Nkurunziza to abandon his attempt to run for a third term in office, a decision that has sparked violent protests since the president's announcement in April.
Employers have castigated Zimbabwe's move to come up with new regulations for blocking company retrenchments, which include demands for industries to first submit salary scales of executives and all employees before sending workers home. Other demands announced by Labour Minister Prisca Mfumira are that the companies should also submit a list of measures undertaken before any decision is made to retrench workers. Thousands of companies have been retrenching workers in Zimbabwe due to the country's economic decline, largely attributed to lack of foreign direct investment, lack of capital, and related issues. For perspective, reporter Tatenda Gumbo turned to Kenya Siamarira, Secretary General of the Zimbabwe Federation of Trade Unions, and economist and former Confederation of Zimbabwe Industries President Callisto Jokonya. Jokonya says it is noble for companies to begin to follow what has long been outlined in the Labour Act.
People did not have a yardstick what to verify. By now, it's a committee that has been operational for a long time. I think they must have a template where they would look through and tick and say, this has been covered, this has been covered. And if that is there, there's no need of delaying retrenchment if it needs to be done.
And Mr. Shamuyarira, can you come in there giving us your take?
I think like what Dr. Jokonya has alluded to, it is very clear that we have got the retrenchment regulations that are in place, such as the Special Instrument 404 of 1990, as amended from time to time. But I think for a minister now to come and re-emphasize that there was a reason and there is a concern for the minister to do that, because it shows that there was a lot of shortchanging that was now back to the interplay.
Mr. Jokonya, looking inside a company itself, what are the steps it should take before making this decision to then come and retrench its workers?
I think this is common practice. When you start a business as an investor, your intention is always long-term. You want a business to go on for as long as the business is profitable. Retrenchment does not come into play. And nobody will just wake up tomorrow and say, I'm closing the company. What causes retrenchment is because the organization is facing certain difficulties. And to do this, there are many ways of going through this retrenchment issue. If if it has to be done. It is always a normal last resort to do. But there are works councils in the organization that discuss this issue. And retrenchment has to be agreed upon between the employees of the organization, or you can say in the works council of the organization. And once it is agreed upon, that's when it is taken to the ministry. The ministry, or you can say the retrenchment board, sits down and sees, evaluate what the organization will have tried, and still retrenchment remains the viable option to pursue. And that's when it is attended to.
Mr. Shamyarira, this move by the ministry is also calling for the company board of directors to submit their fee structure, including allowances, payments to directors and board members. Do you think that this will be necessary and important when dealing with the issue of retrenchment?
I think it's very noble and it's very much appreciated by us downtrodden workers. But first of all, we need to see corporate responsibility starting from the top to the bottom. You see, you can't continue to talk about a company going through hardship in terms of financial viability when you, the management, are busy exploiting the little that the company is managing by way of not cutting even all your luxury tech, school fees, even the cars that you drive, even all those holidays, all those things, cell phones that you even use. We need to have a common sacrifice, all of us. And hence, this idea that the salary of management of directors must be put glaringly open to everybody.
Mr. Jokonya, your take there.
I think the minister, she's well-placed to deal with the parastatal issues. And that's where it has been reported that that area has not been managed very well. I don't know of private sector paying huge salary, paying huge director's fee. That is not common.
Mr. Shamyarira, will this model work to curb the issue of retrenchments in Zimbabwe?
It will, because any mode of economic transformation must bring about inclusive empowerment initiatives to both players, management, workers. It must never be one-sided. Once we start to think in a one-sided benefit, then we are neoliberals. And neoliberals have been taken over by events in this new millennium. We want to see all of us sacrificing towards such goals that uplift the nation, the workers, and the continent.
And Mr. Jokonya, your last word here.
Answering your question whether this will stop retrenchment, I don't think so. I think what can only stop retrenchment is the turnaround of the economy, the success that we need to put in together, and we need all to sacrifice as a nation and begin to operate at our correct level.
That was former Confederation of Zimbabwe Industries President Callisto Jokonya. You also heard from Kenya Shamyarira, Secretary General of the Zimbabwe Federation of Trade Unions. They were both speaking with Studio 7 Tatenda Gumbo from Harare.
The 30 young Zimbabweans who are participating in this year's edition of the Mandela Washington Fellowship for Young African Leaders Initiative say they are all set for the coveted exchange and ready for the long flight to the U.S. in 2 weeks' time. One of them is journalist and Herald newspaper features editor Roslyn Sachiti, who will be attached at the University of Virginia. Miss Sachiti has a passion for stories that put the girl child and women in the spotlight, she says. So, what are her expectations of the YALI program? She takes up that question with reporter Ntungameli Nkomo.
I'm looking forward to meeting a number of about 499 other African young leaders who will be coming from countries like Nigeria, Zambia, South Africa, and Sudan, Rwanda, and we'll discuss and share ideas on the work that we're already doing in our countries and how we can help each other develop in the areas that we're working in.
Why do women's issues and domestic violence matter to you?
They matter to me because, I grew up in a community where I would see women being violated against. You'd see a neighbor being beaten, but as a child, you don't understand that this is domestic violence. You just think it's part of life. But as I grew and as I started interacting with other people, I realized that, no, this is domestic violence, and the law does not allow people, women to be violated against them, and just anyone, not just women, but anyone else. That's what gave me the strength to write about domestic violence issues and also other issues like family planning that also affects women, because some women cannot make their own decisions when it comes to their reproductive health.
That was Mandela Washington Fellowship 2015 participant and Herald Features editor Roslyn Sachiti on the line with reporter Ntunga Melinkomo from Harare.
The opposition MDC formation of Morgan Tsvangirai says it is going to petition President Robert Mugabe over what it calls threats by Manicaland Provincial Minister Mandita Wepichimene to shut down businesses of Indian businessmen who are not attending her state-sanctioned meetings. Chimene gave the Indians a five-day ultimatum, which expired yesterday, to attend their meetings. MDC spokesman Obet Gutu tells Studio 7 these remarks are racist, as Asian shops are providing few remaining jobs in a country with an ailing economy.
As the MDC, we are very much concerned by these very racist, threatening remarks made against the Indian business community by this woman, Mandita Wepichimene. In fact, it is not the first time that this particular person has behaved in a very upset, in a very threatening, and in a very unlawful manner. Not too long ago, a few weeks after she was appointed the Minister for Manicaland Province, she was on record threatening all the diamond mining companies in the Chiyazwa area to say they should never ever employ MDC members, or else she will ensure that they will have their licenses taken away. She was also on record threatening the Mutare City Council, saying that she was going to come up with a parallel city council in which she was going to be the chairperson. This clearly shows that this woman is going over the board. She does not appreciate that she took the oath to obey and respect the laws of the country. She's bound by the Constitution of Zimbabwe. She should know that the Indian community is a community that has actually stood by Zimbabweans even during the liberation struggle. So what Mandichimene is doing is very regrettable, and we are going to petition her boss, who is Robert Mugabe, to ensure that she is immediately relieved of her duties and that she is not fit for purpose.
That was MDCT spokesman Obet Gutu in Harare. Studio 7 tried to reach Chimene, but we were told she was in a meeting.
And in sports news, Hoops for Hope, an organization that works with disadvantaged kids in Harare and Mutare high-density suburbs by making basketball accessible to locals, says fans in Zimbabwe are looking forward to the National Basketball Association or NBA finals between Cleveland Cavaliers and Golden State Warriors Thursday. Ngoni Makukula of Hopes for Hope tells Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, although he's a Cavaliers fan himself, he thinks the two teams both have a chance to clinch the title as they will be playing for honor.
People really follow basketball a lot in Zimbabwe. They have a lot of keen interest in what goes on in the NBA, and they really know the players, and they know their profiles, and they follow the paces of the game in the USA. So, yeah, everybody is excited. I know a lot of Cavaliers are fans in this country. I also know quite a few friends that love the Golden State Warriors.
Looking at the following in Zimbabwe, you say that a few people are following the Cavaliers, and LeBron James himself was the MVP, most valued player last year, and he'll be playing against Golden State, who have the current most valued player, Stephen Curry. What's the mood like?
Yes, people follow. To be honest, to see LeBron James doing what he did with the Cleveland Cavaliers after such a long wait without being in the playoffs, and then to get back in there and win the conference and being able to put them into the final takes a real champion of the game. I believe he's on the right track to be heir to the throne. It's tough to compare Michael Jordan to anybody, but honestly, at some point, you know, we have to start acknowledging that LeBron James is on the right track and he's the greatest player who's playing the game at the moment.
That was Ngoni Makukula of Hoops for Hope speaking to Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye from Harare.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host of the Youth Connection will be talking with experts and listeners about Zimbabweans who will be part of the 2015 Mandela Washington Yali. This is Jonga Kandemiri wishing you a good night.
And this is Chris Gande leaving you with Standegile Mhlanga for the Ndebele News Bulletin.